invite you to open a Bible with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. In just a few moments, we will be reading together from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for so enthusiastically singing out. Appreciate Eric's very appropriate selections. As he mentioned, we want to talk about an important, a challenging idea, a principle that touches on everyday life. And I hope that you see that by the time that we are done this morning. Already this year, we have, in a variety of different ways, tried to wrap our minds around what it means not only to worship God on a Sunday morning, but to live on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and every day of the week for the sake of His name. We've tried to show in a variety of different sections of God's Word that we exist for the sake of His name. The sun that rose behind the clouds here in central Ohio this morning rose for the sake of His name. The raindrops that are falling from the clouds this morning in central Ohio are falling for the sake of His name. The spring flowers that are blooming, they are blooming for the sake of His name. You and I have life this morning for the sake of His name. And so how has He shown us how to live for the sake of His name? We know that we fall short of His glory. We know that we are all guilty of sin. And so in many respects, it begins with my willingness to respond to Him for the sake of His name, to embrace the opportunity to belong to His church for the sake of His name, to appreciate the matchless blessing of having a spiritual family, an environment in which I can thrive for the sake of His name. And as Eric has already drawn our attention, to live with others in mind, to seek to be a channel of grace, to receive that grace and to share that grace, to hear about that grace and respond obediently to the message of that grace, but to be a living embodiment of that grace with everyone for the sake of His name. Several weeks ago, when we camped on that idea of sharing His grace with all, we spent significant time in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, and we noticed that transformation is a very real possibility. It is a matchless blessing of God's grace. And we spent time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that shows us God's Word is God's tool for transformation. That one of the most basic and powerful ways we can share His grace with all is to be willing to openly state what is true. And the aim of God's transformation is that the life of Jesus would be manifested in our bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul goes on to show us the effect of that transformation in 2 Corinthians 4 is that grace extends to more and more people. What a beautifully simple idea. That God has given us the word of His grace and uses the word of His grace as the means of transforming our lives so that in our bodies the life of Jesus would be manifested and others would be able to see that and grace would extend to more and to more people. You have your Bible open there to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Take a look at what that looks like, practically speaking, in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Channels of grace. lives changed by grace, lives that are dedicated as channels of His grace to others. Let me ask you, what does that look like on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday? One thing to wrap our minds around this amazing God-revealed concept that we exist for the sake of His name. Another thing to know how to live on Monday morning. What I would like to do is give as much voice to the Scriptures themselves as possible this morning and just draw out six practical principles from those to show us exactly what it means, what it looks like to be a channel of grace. Not simply on Sunday morning, but on Monday afternoon. Number one, aim to do all to the glory of God. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians. If you were in 2 Corinthians, it's the book just before that, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we will read in just a moment. What does it mean? What does it look like to be a channel of God's grace on Monday? Well, I've got to clarify my aim, because if I am not aiming in the right direction, I certainly will not hit my target. If I wake up tomorrow without any aim whatsoever in mind for living in the way that God would have me to live, I am not going to drift in the right direction. You want to be a channel of God's grace on Monday? Begin Monday by clarifying and focusing your aim. What's my aim? We know that God is zealously jealous and passionate about His own glory. He says things in the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah 48 and verse 11, "What I am doing for my own sake. For my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." That's how God feels about His glory, and rightfully so, as the sovereign creator and sustainer of all. You have your Bible open there to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice that He wants us, His redeemed sons and daughters, to be zealously focused on His glory as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, disciple of Christ, do it all to the glory of God." You're going to be driving in Monday morning Columbus traffic on 270 tomorrow morning. Sit in that traffic in a way that does not take away from the glory of God. You have been raised to walk in newness of life. And it is not a trite thing to aim to ask, how would Jesus the Christ, my Lord, conduct Himself as He is sitting in traffic with places to go? How would He control His temper? How would He control His mouth? How would He control the gestures of His hand? You're going to interact with people tomorrow who are pleasant to be around and unpleasant to be around. What's your aim? If your aim is to do whatever it is that you feel like doing, then you will not, given enough time and frustrated opportunity, glorify God in those interactions. What's your aim? And when you aim in the right direction, then you as a light, not a light of your own, but a light that is reflecting the glory of God as the moon reflects the light of the sun, then you are ready to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and do what? You have served as a channel of God's grace. And it is God who gets the glory. Peter put it this way as he wrote to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. "You make sure that you keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you even as evildoers, they see your good deeds. You've responded to the Lord. You've been added to His church. You've been taught how spiritually to thrive. You have been called to be a channel of God's grace to others. And even as they speak against you, they see you are a person of good heart. Transformed heart. That is flowing out in good deeds. And that has the potential, brother or sister in Christ, son or daughter of God, to glorify God. Not only in your example, but to serve as an influence. So perhaps those people as well, who at one point were speaking evil of you, might grow to glorify God on the day of visitation. What's it look like to live as a channel of God's grace on Monday? You've got to clarify your aim. Go with me to the New Testament book of Colossians chapter 3. Channel of God's grace on Monday. What's the mindset? Whatever I do, I'm serving the Lord Christ. Isn't that more tangible? More easy to get our minds focused? Not only am I doing something for the glory of my Creator, but whatever it is that I do, I'm serving a Lord who is, not someone who was, someone who is, someone who exists this morning. And every Monday morning, as long as this world stands, someone to whom I owe my allegiance, someone to whom I owe absolutely everything. I am, according to Paul in Ephesians, to His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You have your Bible open to Colossians 3. Look at verse 23. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Notice how broadly the Holy Spirit of God leads Paul to say, whatever you do, son or daughter of God, whatever you do, disciple of Christ, you work heartily. Your heart is engaged. Your transformed heart that has been set on things that are above. Whatever you do, you work heartily. You work as for the Lord. You have a master, you have a boss who is unfair. Work heartily as if you are working for the Lord and not for men. You have someone in a position of authority over you who keeps passing over you and giving you what you think you deserve. You work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You continue to be taken for granted, spoken against, mistreated, pushed down and down and down. You work heartily, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. What do you need to remember? If you're going to be a channel of grace on Monday, you are serving the Lord Christ. And when I get my aim where it needs to be, and I get my perspective clarified in the way that it needs to be, now I'm ready. Now I'm primed. Number three, now I am enabled by God to find my joy in Him above and beyond anything else. Turn in your Bible with me to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 37. How do you fight to find your joy in God above anything else? Well, you're aiming to do all for the glory of God. You live with the awareness, whatever it is that I do, I'm serving the Lord Christ. And that doesn't change the way everybody else lives. But you notice how the psalmist reasons in Psalm 37 and verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. You trust in the Lord. You're aiming to do all to the glory of God. You're serving the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You do good. You dwell in the land. You befriend faithfulness. You delight yourself in the Lord. Whether evildoers are around or not. Whether people who are frustrating are directing all of their efforts to frustrate squarely at you. You find your joy in the Lord. Why does that matter? Because I can only serve one master. Do not, your Creator warns, allow your desire, your capacity to feel, God-given desire, don't seek to satisfy that with money. You can't serve God and money. Money makes a promise that it cannot keep. Physical pleasure makes a promise that it cannot keep. Human relationships were never designed by God to satisfy what God has put into your heart that only He can fulfill. Which is why He uses Isaiah thousands of years ago to ask, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Clearly, He is not talking about any human delicacy. He's talking exactly about what Jesus Himself described in John 4 and verse 34. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Surely you know, if you're thinking, if I aim to do on Monday morning or Tuesday afternoon all that I do for the glory of God, and I work to serve the Lord Christ, and I fight to find my joy in God above everyone else, there are those who are going to find that strange. Do you want to be a channel of God's grace to others? Don't be afraid to confuse this world. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. Perfect. Or you can go with me nearly to the end to 1 Peter chapter 4, where Peter in his own way encourages disciples of Christ, don't be afraid to confuse the people whose hearts are right here set in this world, who are not aiming to glorify God. They have a different aim from you. And when they see your clear aim, they're going to wonder why you're living in such a self-sacrificial way. They're not serving the Lord Christ. Their joy is rooted in other things. But Christian, Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 3, you need to understand that the time is past that suffices for doing what the Gentiles do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to these things, notice they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. And as they see that you're living differently, they malign you. What do you need to understand? They're going to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And listen to me, as a child of God, you don't take joy in that. You don't relish the fact that these people, if they remain on the trajectory they are, they're going to stand before God and receive their righteous wrath. And so what do? I serve as a channel. I am a channel between God and those who are not right with Him. What is God's tool for transformation? It is His Word, the open statement of the truth. What is the aim? That the life of Jesus would be manifested in my body. What's the effect? Grace extends to more and to more and to more people. And perhaps if I am unashamed, with clear aim and sharp focus on serving the Lord Christ, if my joy above all else is in Christ alone, I'm honoring Him in my heart. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. He is holy. I want to be holy. And as a channel, I'm prepared. Always prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks me for a reason for the hope that is within me. Ready to do it with gentleness and respect. Go with me to Acts chapter 20 if you would. Channels of grace on a Monday, they remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's a reference, of course, to what Paul proclaimed in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. He says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What's the motto of a channel of God's grace on Monday? It is more blessed to give than to receive. What's the motto in everyday life of a man or a woman who wants more than anything to live for the sake of His name? It is more blessed to give than to receive. For the remainder of my time on this earth, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so Paul makes that practical for us in Ephesians 4 and verse 28. If you have stolen in the past, stop stealing. Rather, let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Why? So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Why? Because my Lord told me it is more blessed to give than to receive. To young Timothy, he writes in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, particularly those who are financially well off, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when I live with that mindset, what's happening? I am storing up treasure for myself as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. What a powerfully radical idea that the more I give, the more treasure that truly lasts is being laid up on my account. Turn with me finally to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Channels of grace on a Monday devote their greatest focus and zeal toward what will endure forever. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus challenged, "Do not work for the food that perishes. Why will you work tomorrow?" Hear the Lord Jesus say, "Do not work for the food that perishes." You're a channel of God's grace. Work to provide for yourself and your family. Work that you might have in order to share with anyone in need. But you're a channel. Work with this source in mind. I'm working for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man is going to give me. And so we come full circle. Back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Where Jesus has just described unashamedly shining as a light in this world. And as lights in this world, as the salt of the earth, he says in Matthew 6 and verse 19, don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because here's where our hearts need to be on Sunday morning. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But not just Sunday morning. Monday morning. Tuesday afternoon. Friday night. Aiming to do all to the glory of God. Whatever it is, serving the Lord Christ. Fighting day by day to find my joy in God above anything else. Not afraid to confuse the world. Remembering that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And devoting my greatest focus and zeal toward what will endure forever. I wonder this morning, do you have treasures laid up in heaven? As the Lord God Almighty looks at you and He takes stock in you who are created in His image, does He see someone who is laying up treasures in heaven? Taking the long view, as Craig mentioned in our prayer. Serving here in a way that is a blessing to other people, but wanting to be more than anything a blessing to God. Maybe you walked into this room and you know that you're not living that sort of a life. What incredible news to hear that you can walk out of this room on the path to transformation. What's God's tool for transformation? It's His Word. The open statement of the truth. And so we unashamedly give voice to the answer given by God when people were willing to ask. When they heard that Jesus, God's own Son, had died to atone for their sins. And thousands were willing to ask, what shall we do? They were told to repent. Turn away from your sin. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we herald that truth this morning because that is God's tool for transformation. The open statement of the truth. What's the aim of that transformation? That you would bury that old man or woman of sin in baptism with Christ. And you would be raised to walk in newness of life so that now you in your body are a manifestation of the life of Jesus Christ. To what effect? That grace would extend to more and more people. Perhaps you've done that in the past. And you realize you haven't been living as a channel for God's glory. What an amazing truth that there are so many people here who would be willing to be a channel of prayer to Almighty God on your behalf. God is willing to receive you, whomever you are. God is willing to wash you clean, whomever you are. And if we can be of any help in your response to your Creator, would you let us know how we can help by coming to the front of this room while we stand and sing?